Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Hello, ma'am. I am a census taker with the U.S. Census Bureau.
Oh, terrific. Good for you. Bye.
Oh, no, wait. Hang on. You never returned your 2010 census form, so if I could just ask you a few questions.
Absolutely, dear. Will I need a calculator?
No, ma'am.
Because I have one. But I took the batteries out to use them in a crotch massager.
No, you will not need a calculator. First question, how many people live at this residence?
Zero.
You don't live here?
Oh, including me? Three.
Okay, well, I'm going to put you down as the primary resident.
Terrific.
Now, how would you describe your race or ethnic origin?
Well, superior to Asians, but not as intelligent as blacks.
Whoops, okay. Let me clarify. Which of the following describes you? White, Asian, Hispanic, Pacific Islander?
Oh, Pacific Islander. Let's try that. And don't skimp on the rum.
What is your last name, ma'am?
Blarfengar.
Can you spell that for me?
S-M-I-T-H.
And that's pronounced?
Blarfengar.
Not Smith?
They changed it at Ellis Island when I was there 2 weeks ago on a bingo cruise.
Okay, and your first name?
Blarfengar.
And that's spelled?
L-E-E.
So your name is Blarfengar, spelled Lee Smith.
Well, back in school, they had to call me Blarfengar B because there was another girl in the class named Lee Jarvis.
Okay, sure. Are there any people living in this residence part-time?
Oh, goodness, yes. There's Fluffy, Princess, Tigger, Sox.
Oh, and these are people we're talking about and not cats, right?
There's really no way of knowing. Sometimes when I see their big eyes looking up from my lap, I think, that's definitely a homeless guy in a fur coat.
Okay, honestly, Ms. Blarfengar, the government is just trying to ascertain.
Ah, ascertain. That used to be my stripper name. I recently changed it to Blarfengar.
Okay, you know what? We're done.
Oh, good. You have a good day, sir.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. 307 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC. That was Betty White. They reran the Saturday Night Live episode the other night when it was announced that she had passed away, so they went into quick action, went into the archives. They were supposed to rerun the Kieran Culkin thing from about a year ago, but instead they went back and did Betty White at 88 with some of the best comedic timing you'll ever hear or see being put on display. God, she was good. She was so funny. I had an opportunity to interview her back in the late 80s. It was a satellite interview, but she was still a lot of fun. I went looking in my archives for that, and I couldn't find it the other day, but it's in there somewhere. One of these days, I'll find it. But I will tell you that after the podcast yesterday, I thought to myself, I'm bringing up a really, really good point here. This is why there are conspiracy theories. This is why people hear one little inconsistency. They detect one little crack, one little hairline fracture in a story, and they just go off to the races with it. And yesterday, I think, was a good example, because on one hand, somebody said she died peacefully in her sleep. Well, it wasn't somebody. It was her agent and best friend. And she died peacefully in her sleep. They said that because some psycho anti-vaxxer out there published a story somewhere on social media that said, well, you know, she got her COVID booster shot. like the day or 2 days before she passed away. So clearly that's what killed her. There's only one problem. There's not a lick of truth to that. But then, after saying she died peacefully in her sleep, they say, oh, and by the way, her last words were Alan, as in Alan Ludden, presumably, the guy she was married to until he died back in the early 1980s. So as I said yesterday on the podcast, well, wait a minute, which is it? Did she die peacefully in her sleep, or was she laying there and said Alan and then died? Because otherwise what you're asking me to believe is that she was sleeping, that this guy was watching her for some reason, and that she just like sat up, yelled out the word Alan, and then died, which is a very, very unlikely story. So which is it? See, but when you give people who have nothing better to do and are sort of prone to these conspiracy theories, this is all they need. They just need one molecule, one little morsel, and then it's off to the races. How about off to nothing? Have you seen these videos of Virginia and Maryland and Washington, D.C. after this snowfall? First of all, I used to live there. They're not really up to date, I guess you would say, on snow removal techniques because it hardly ever snows. So they don't really have what they should probably have, which is a couple of snow plows and some salt trucks and stuff like that. Well, it turns out they do, but this thing caught them by surprise. Apparently they were expecting rain, and they did get rain, and then it flipped over to snow, and they were not expecting that to happen. So now you've got people stuck in their cars for like 24 hours. They're just starting to move some of these people now. Tim Kaine, Mr. Milquetoast, the most nondescript vice presidential candidate perhaps ever, who ran with Hillary Clinton. That did not help her at all, by the way. It's not that it hurt her, it's just that it didn't help. He was one of the people stuck in this whole thing. And they said that people were really being nice, that the people who did have food or water or something like that were sharing it. And, you know, but you had families. You had, like, little kids asleep in their car seats, in the back seats of cars. And you know, animals and people who were expected to be places and people who needed their medication and things like that. And all these people are just sitting there in their cars and they can't move. Nobody moving. This was off Interstate 95 in Virginia. It's a 50-mile stretch, and these people stuck for 24 hours just moving now. The mess left hundreds of people stranded, traffic backed up 40 miles. So we went to the Red Cross website, and here's the advice that they have, what you should do if you're in a similar situation. You get stranded in the snow. And I've been in this situation before. So they say, grab your emergency kit if you've got one. If you don't got one, you got to get one. Everyone should have one, especially if you're driving in winter weather, and especially if you're, you know, like off the beaten path, even a little bit. A good kit includes blankets, flashlights, non-perishable food, and bottled water. If you can't get help or find shelter, stay in your car. Now, it depends on how bad the snow is, but in general, don't leave your car unless help is visible within 100 yards, because it's really easy to get turned around in a snowstorm, and then you lose track of your car. You don't know where you are. You're going to white out, and now you're really screwed. So stay in the car. That's really important. And again, people will remember this thing that Friday night about 3 years ago, where we didn't have a bunch of snow, but we had some sort of like ice pellet and ice storm stuff. And if you'll recall, people were stuck all over Highway 40, all over 55, all over everything. Even roads that had just a little bit of a grade increase, just a little bit of a hill. You couldn't even get up that. I got one friend who works in the Chesterfield Valley, lives in South County. It took her, what'd she say, 8 hours to get home. 8 hours! To get home. A trip that normally would take about a half an hour, 45 minutes. Tops. Anyhow, back to the list here. Don't run your heater more than 10 minutes per hour. That should keep you warm enough to survive, but it'll also preserve your gas. And just make sure your exhaust pipe is not blocked by the snow, because that can happen real easily too, especially when you're not moving. You could end up with somebody else's carbon monoxide from their car too. If you've got passengers, huddle together to stay warm and cover up whatever you can if you don't have blankets. and make sure somebody knows you're in trouble. If the whole highway is jammed up, you're not alone, but if you're in a remote area by yourself, call for help. If that's not possible, tie a colorful piece of fabric to your antenna or hang it out of your window and let people know that you're in distress. I would also put on that list one of those portable cell phone chargers. I mean, you can get really cheap ones for $5 that you use once and you throw away. Or you can get the ones that are about, you can find them for maybe $15, maybe $20. They're rechargeable. Keep one of those in your car. That always helps. I remember the blizzard of 78. I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we were stuck in the radio station for 3.5 days before they finally snowmobiled three of us out to my apartment because my apartment was closest to the radio station. So they came in with snowmobiles, and you know, we had emptied every vending machine, every portable refrigerator. We went through everybody's desk just looking for a Snickers bar or something, just anything to sustain life. Lady across the street, this was the radio station, was way out in a remote area off the highway, but there was one house sort of across the street. And again, you're talking about like 20 inches of snow, but the drifting was crazy. There were like 8 and 12 foot drifts. And this lady made us soup because she was listening to us on the air. We had like three people, and we were just rotating on-air shifts just to keep the radio station going, keep it going on the air. And that was back in the old days before computers and automation and everything like that. You had a microphone and two fucking turntables. That was it. And so you couldn't just say, well, put it on autopilot like you can now. We didn't have any of that stuff. If you didn't have anybody sitting there in front of the control board spinning records, the radio station wasn't on the air. But this lady, you know, brought us soup. We just couldn't even believe that anybody would have been that nice to do that for us. But it's bad news. It's bad news. And again, people who, well, like I said, my friend in Chesterfield, who works in Chesterfield, lives in South County. She gets on 40 to 270, swings around the South County, and gets off and goes home every day. Why should she have thought to herself, I need an emergency kit. I need blankets. I need things to stay warm. I need something to sustain life, bottles of water, non-perishable food. Why would she ever think that? Okay, well, everybody found out why she should think that, because, you know, thousands of people were, stuck in their cars, and that Friday night about 3 years ago. Now, with all that in mind, we have a situation brewing, and there's a lot of speculation here with regard to how bad this is going to be. So let's first back up. There's not a consensus as to whether or not we're going to get snow or how much we're going to get. If you go to the little computer thing on your phone and you go to whatever weather service you have, you're going to get five different forecasts. Dave, who I talked to yesterday, says probably an inch, probably a couple of places could get 2 inches. Here's the problem. If this hits during morning drive tomorrow, you got a bigger problem. And you're like, an inch of snow? Whoa, who cares? Who cares about that? We'll just plow right through that. Well, maybe not. The ground is very, very cold, and it's going to remain cold. You know, I think, what, is tonight going down to 7 degrees, or is that tomorrow night? All right, 14 above tonight, high 18 tomorrow, and then a few clouds, low 7 degrees. All right, so that's really cold. The ground is cold, which means that anything that comes down is going to freeze on contact. And now you have a situation that could be similar to what we were just talking about. Aha, working from home. Working from home. Those of you who are listening to this and are not involved in a commute, I guess you don't have to worry. All right, what else we got? Oh, this was a little interesting social media experiment, I guess you would say, yesterday. Everybody knows what clickbait is. Clickbait, if you don't know, is somebody on the internet, somebody on social media will put something up that has got a misleading headline, and then you are like, what? I got to read that story, and you click, and then you find out that the story isn't really represented by the headline that they got you to go to the story about. And yesterday was a perfect example of this, because somebody issued this thing, and it got repeated, and it got shared, and it got forwarded all over the place, and it said that Andy Cohen was fired by CNN because of his behavior on New Year's Eve. And then you read it, it's like, well, they wanted to fire him. Somebody said he was fired, but then they issued a statement saying, no, he'll be back next year. But people didn't read the story. They only read the headline and started commenting about how rotten this was that CNN fired Andy Cohen, and they didn't fire Andy Cohen. And it was just, I figured, I'm just going to leave the story up just to sort of see what we get, and got exactly the response that I thought. People looking only at the headline, not reading the story. And you know, if you use Facebook a lot now, you know this, that if you try to share a story that you yourself have not read, a little window will come up on the bottom of your phone and it'll say, you know, you're trying to share a story that you haven't read, you bad person. And then you got to click past that and go, yeah, I know. You're not my mother. Shut the fuck up. But I digress. The world, especially the sports world, sitting on the edge of their chairs, wondering what the Washington football team is going to call themselves. Well, they're supposed to announce it on February 2nd, which is that Super Bowl weekend? If it's not, it's right around Super Bowl weekend. Anyhow, they may have spoiled it by accidentally taking their new website live. Unless the quote-unquote error is just a hoax, the new name is the Washington Admirals, which is fine. As you know, if you've been listening to the podcast and the radio show prior to that, my idea, I think, is the best I've ever heard because I'm saying it, of course. But I thought they should have changed the name of the team to the Capital Punishment. See, everybody's focusing on Washington. It's like, no, the Capital Punishment. Great name for, all right, maybe not an NFL team. Maybe that's more like one of those USFL team names. The Seattle Murderer Rapists are on the air. Back to Betty White for a minute. She was reportedly worth $75 million when she died. Also, her favorite hot dog restaurant is now selling the Betty White Naked Hot Dog, which is just the meat and the bun. That's the way she liked to eat them. Chris Evans, reportedly going to produce and star in a movie about Singing in the Rain star Gene Kelly, based on the original idea by Chris about a 12-year-old kid who develops an imaginary friendship with Gene Kelly while working at MGM. It's interesting when you remember that Carrie Underwood, who is now, like, you know, one of the biggest stars in country music, did her audition in St. Louis, came tooling in from Oklahoma right up 44 and bopped up there in front of the judges, and the breast is history. If you've ever thought to yourself, yes, I'd like to make an idiot out of myself trying to get on some sort of reality television show, here is what the people who are in charge of that stuff say. There's a guy by the name of Mike Lush, casting director who's worked on MTV's Real World and other shows. And this is interesting too, because back in the 80s, they sent me to California for a week to do one of those behind the scenes thing about Wheel of Fortune. Part of what we showed in that five-part series was the selection process. You know, people fill out an application, and then after answering all the questions, the people from the show, the producers, look at it and go, this guy, this gal, no, not this guy. And then they bring them in, and you sit down in what looks exactly like a high school classroom, and you sit down, and now you take another test, and it's rigidly timed. And then the people who pass that test are then sent to another room where now they sort of check them for their personality. Are they bubbly? Are they vivacious? Are they going to look good on television? We isolated on this little blonde from Phoenix who was in auditioning for the show and actually made it onto the show. And all I remember is that she was cooperative with us. We were like trying to interview her through the process. Like, well, what was this like? But when she made it onto the show, man, it was business, man. She was all business. And she got on that show, and I think she won the night. Anyhow, here's what this guy, Mike Lush, says about trying to get on one of the reality TV shows. Quote, the biggest thing is showing me you have a big energy and you're a big personality. If you need to take a shot, grab a cup of coffee, or go for a run, do whatever you can to get your energy up. And here are the six tips to nail your audition. Number one, toot your own horn. Don't be afraid to brag about yourself because nothing is off limits in the casting interview. Number two, be specific. When you're being asked, for example, if you're competitive, then talk about a time that you went to crazy lengths to win something. Number three, crying is cool. It's okay to be vulnerable. Showing emotion shows that you're real and a relatable person. Number four, diversity is ideal. It's important to see diversity in the cast to learn about different struggles from people who come from different backgrounds. Number five, dress and plan to impress. Be camera ready and be sure to be in a private space for your interview and away from any distractions. Number six, stay connected. Keep up to date on your social media and follow the casting directors to see which shows they're casting. Also, answer your phone or the director will move on to the next person. Once you become a big, big Hollywood reality TV star, maybe you get a Golden Globe, which will be handed out Sunday with no red carpet and no celebrities. It's not even clear if it's going to be live streamed. The Golden Globes thing, I think, is over. No cultural diversity with the Golden Globes. And people found out about it, and they've basically been canceled. Look at this. James Corden tonight, Jessica Chastain, and Penelope Cruz. Might have to stamp for that one. Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson took off to the Bahamas. A charge of forcible touching against Andrew Cuomo has been dropped due to a lack of evidence, even though the prosecutors found the alleged victim credible. David Lee Roth has canceled the Las Vegas concerts that were supposed to be his farewell show. By now, you've heard that the winter warm-up has been canceled, and it's not really COVID-related. It's because the players are like, we're in a work stoppage right now. We're being locked out. Spring training is supposed to start in, what, about 6 weeks? Yeah, exactly 6 weeks, as a matter of fact. And the players are like, what are we going to go to the winter warm-up for? We may not even have a season, or we may not have a season until, you know, like the 4th of July or something like that. I was talking to my father-in-law about this yesterday because he's still in town visiting. He was taking care of the animals while we were in St. Louis. And we are in agreement that Major League Baseball fans will not tolerate any more nonsense. Remember when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa had to bring people back to the ballparks in the late 90s because people were so pissed off? You know, we didn't have a World Series 1 year and all these work stoppages, and people were just like, fuck it, I'm done. And it really took that home run chase to bring people back into the ballparks. Well, you know, they're gambling. If they think that the American sports fan is going to put up with another work stoppage or any more nonsense from Major League Baseball, they are sadly miscalculating the situation. But the winter warm-up ain't happening. You know, and then we got into a longer discussion. My father-in-law, well, he's an interesting guy, a union electrician for many, he's retired now, union electrician for many, many years. He was the guy that actually did the fiber optic wiring on the Busch Stadium scoreboard. I actually saw him doing it once. They were giving us a tour of the ballpark before it was ready to be opened. It was probably in like January or February. And we bundled up and they gave us hard hats and they took a bunch of media people through the place and walking around. They're like, there's my father-in-law. I've been telling you that he's the guy that's wiring up the scoreboard. I think people thought I was lying. And there he was, dragging a big toolbox and everything like that. But he also spent 10 years riding a motorcycle for your St. Louis Police Department. And he was in the bad part of town, by the way. But for 10 years, he rode a motorcycle and may have written you a ticket at one point or another. But we got into a discussion about this Stan Kroenke money, about $500 million. And yesterday I said it would send a great message to the rest of the country and also be sort of a public indication that we're finally getting serious about this. Take the entire wad, the entire $500 million, and put all the money towards trying to mitigate the St. Louis crime problem. Now, people started jumping all over me. Well, that won't work. This doesn't work. This doesn't work. It's like, well, first of all, how do you know? Are you a criminologist? Are you a sociologist? How do you know? You're just blowing it out your ass. So that's number one. Number two, it's sort of like the same anti-argument, if you will, about wearing masks and getting vaccines. People are like, oh, my friend got both vaccines and got the booster, and then you got COVID anyhow. So see, masks and vaccines, they don't work. See? See? And, of course, the response to that is, you remember when they announced the vaccine and they said it was 92% effective? You know, you remember math? 100 minus 92 is 8. So 8% of people could still be susceptible even if they do get the vaccine, wear a mask, See, it's not about eliminating the problem. It's about mitigating it, meaning watering it down, lessening the effects. It's the same thing you get into with the gun discussion. Well, that won't work. It's like, well, how do you know? What do you want to do? Just do continue to do nothing. So, you know, anything that helps. So in 1 year, you got 300 people murdered in St. Louis. Maybe you do some of this stuff, and maybe it's 150. So you got 150 families that are not devastated by the loss of some 15-year-old kid running around in the streets because they didn't have anything else to do. Other cities have done it. I don't like Giuliani, but look what he did in New York. New York was a terribly dangerous place in the 60s and the 70s, especially. And, you know, into the 80s, really. And then Giuliani came in and cleaned up Times Square. He started there and then cleaned up the rest of the city. And now, you know, it's a much, much safer place. You know, Chicago's going to have to do something eventually. But they didn't just get $500 million handed over to them by Stan Kroenke. We did. But anyhow, my, 10-year St. Louis Police Department veteran father-in-law said, what you got to do is cut down on these magazines. These magazines that just have rounds and rounds and rounds. And, you know, what you might be able to do is get a law passed where it would be illegal to sell clips that have more than, like, you know, five rounds or something like that. Of course, the pro-gun lobby would jump up and down. But one thing I do like about what I hear from the NRA is that among the 6 million or so NRA members, the overwhelming majority of them, when polled specifically about this, say, yeah, we would like tighter restrictions on who gets guns. And if you've got somebody with clear mental issues, well, then, you know, make it a little more complicated. Slow them down. Maybe if you just slowed them down, maybe that would work. Again, it's not about eliminating a problem. You'll never be able to eliminate crime. But what you got to do is mitigate it. But no, that would make way too much sense. Why do that? We're back to a mask mandate in St. Louis County starting at 8:30 this morning. And of course, Eric Schmidt sitting out there in Crazyville, Missouri, outstate, says he's going to file a lawsuit today, keep it from going into effect. And so it goes. Birthdays today, one of the more handsome females roaming the fruited plains, Kristen Cavallari from Laguna Beach in the hills, and the former wife of NFL quarterback Jay Cutler. God, that guy. Anyhow, she's 35 today. January Jones is 44. Bradley Cooper, 47. Marilyn Manson, 53. Carrie Ann Inaba from Dancing with the Stars. She was also one of the dancers in Showgirls, which I didn't know. 54 today. Pamela Sue Martin. Oh, back in the day when she was doing the Nancy Drew Mysteries and the Hardy Boys and Dynasty. And then the Lady in Red. That was the movie where she finally quit the grinning and dropped the linen. Oh, my gosh. She was also in the Poseidon Adventure. She was the one in the hot pants. And if it sounds like I'm dating myself, yes, I am. Hot pants. Pamela Sue Martin, 69 today. Ted Lange, and that is the correct pronunciation of the bartender from The Love Boat, is 74. Diane Keaton, 76. Charlie Rose, 80. And listen to this guy's resume. The Godfather, Apocalypse Now, MASH, The Untouchables, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Natural, Colors, Days of Thunder, Newsies, Falling Down, A Family Thing, Phenomenon, Sling Blade, The Man Who Captured Eichmann, The Apostle, The Gingerbread Man, Deep Impact, A Civil Action, Gone in 60 Seconds, The Sixth Day, John Q, Assassination Tango, Gods and Generals, Open Range, Lucky You, Secondhand Lions, Thank You for Smoking, We Own the Night, The Road, Get Low, Crazy Heart, Jane Mansfield's Car, Jack Reacher and the Judge, Robert Duvall, badass, 91 today. I interviewed him years ago, and you walk out of the room knowing that you have just interviewed a fucking movie star. And it's 24 years ago today, Sonny Bono should have spent more time on the bunny hill learning how to stop. He skied into a tree in South Tahoe, California. He was 62. That was the end of that. And there's a viral video, maybe you've seen it, of a giant crab attaching itself to a driver in a golfer's bag on a course in Australia. It's the first news story about a golfer dealing with crabs. All together now, since Tiger Woods was nailing waitresses in the early 2000s. And with that, we say that's it. Another J.C. Corcoran podcast. You saw the one coming right down Market Street there. Is in the can. We are here every Monday through Friday starting at 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived here. You can email me at jc@jconline.com. On Facebook, you can find me at The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We talk about everything, politics, only when it's absolutely unavoidable. And you have a great day. Spread the word. Let everybody know that we're here doing this every morning. It'll make them happy. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.